Federal regulators halted construction of the 604-mile Atlantic Coast Pipeline on Friday. It's the second natural gas pipeline under construction in West Virginia to receive a stop work order in the last month. Federal officials also shut down construction of the Mountain Valley Pipeline. In both cases, officials cited recent rulings by the federal U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals as the reason for halting work. Since getting the green light from federal regulators last year, more than a dozen lawsuits have been filed challenging the two major pipelines. They touch on everything from landowner rights to compliance with a slew of federal laws. Ellen Gilmer is a legal reporter who has been following litigation for E&E News, a Washington, D.C.-based news organization that covers energy and environment issues. Reporter Brittany Patterson spoke with Gilmer about some of the recent decisions and how the courts are fundamentally changing the natural gas pipeline build-out that's occurring in Appalachia.
Ellen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been covering environmental legal issues for about 5 years now. Have lawsuits related to pipelines become a bigger part of your beat?
Oh, definitely. Pipelines have gotten way more attention in recent years, both in the public debate and in the courtroom. And because I cover the courtroom, that means I've been really busy tracking those issues. We obviously saw a lot of public debate over the Dakota Access Pipeline and Keystone XL. Still, we're seeing that. Those are big oil pipelines. Now we're seeing natural gas pipelines get that same or at least a similar kind of attention in a more regional way. So we're seeing a lot of opposition and scrutiny to these projects as they're built out across the country.
Yeah. Well, and just to give a little context here, we're talking about the 303-mile Mountain Valley Pipeline and the 600-mile Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Because they cross state boundaries, they're regulated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC. How does having FERC involved change things?
So when FERC has oversight over a pipeline, the pipeline is subject to a very lengthy review process in which the commission determines whether the project is needed and what kind of environmental impacts it will have. And that review process can open a lot of new angles for litigation from any pipeline opponents, meaning they can go through that review process and find various elements of it in which they think FERC dropped the ball, didn't look at an area close enough.
These pipelines require a lot of different federal permits from different federal agencies. Those permits have played a major role in some of the recent litigation. Could you take us through some of the most recent decisions?
Sure. So when an interstate natural gas pipeline gets approved, it has to go through that FERC process. The pipeline also has to get approvals from other federal agencies, just depending on when it triggers that jurisdiction. So, for example, if it crosses major waterways or wetlands, the pipeline would need authorization from the Army Corps of Engineers. If it crosses national forest land, it would need permission from the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management. And all of those things were at issue for the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which recently had permits were suspended for its waterway crossings in West Virginia. Additionally, permits were suspended for its crossing of a national forest, the Jefferson National Forest in Southern Virginia. And that was under the jurisdiction of BLM and the Forest Service. Even though those weren't the big overarching FERC permits for the project, they are still considered, you know, critical federal approvals of the project route. Now that those have been suspended, that creates problems for the pipeline to go forward.
Yeah, and now we're seeing that the court's ruling related to the Mountain Valley Pipeline's national forest crossings have effectively shut down all construction, at least temporarily. Can you tell us a little bit about what FERC said in this case in order to issue that stop work order?
That's right. FERC issued a pretty surprising order, surprising to many people. FERC decided that construction on the whole pipeline should stop because if those agencies, when they go back and they go back to the drawing board like the court ordered them to do, if they decide that that route just isn't appropriate, the whole pipeline could have to change its route.
I think that's really interesting that this ruling triggered a stop work order when others have not. But I think it's also important to note that not all of the decisions out of the Fourth Circuit have sided with the pipeline opposition. It's been quite a mixed bag, right?
That's definitely true. Just last week, pipeline opponents lost a case where they were challenging state permits for the pipeline in Virginia. They've also lost a sweeping case that dealt with landowner rights along the pipeline's route. So it certainly hasn't been a situation where they've just been winning all these cases against Mountain Valley Pipeline or federal agencies or anyone. These recent decisions have been a real turn of the tide for them.
Are other pipelines across the country facing similar litigation and struggles?
So the other pipeline in the West Virginia and Virginia area, Atlantic Coast Pipeline, which we've also talked about, has also faced some similar struggles. The Fourth Circuit, again, decided that the Fish and Wildlife Service, another federal agency, didn't study enough the impacts that the pipeline could have on some endangered species and threatened species. It was considered a pretty big setback for the developers of the pipeline. In pipelines in other parts of the country, environmentalists and other pipeline opponents, landowner rights advocates, and people like that are definitely using every tool in their toolbox to oppose pipelines. And that's not new. They're looking at every federal review that surrounds a pipeline, every state review, everything that could have deficiencies.
So looking at the broader picture, I mean, are we seeing any indication that these rulings, especially the ones that we're seeing out of the Fourth Circuit, are fundamentally shifting how future natural gas pipelines will either be proposed or opposed?
I think the ground is shifting for opponents of natural gas pipelines in that they've seen some of these really specific challenges to federal review processes pay off. So they're going to keep using this playbook for future pipelines, and they're going to be going after all of these approvals for all of these other pipelines they're challenging.
And that has to make it hard for pipeline developers, right? I think we just saw the Mountain Valley Pipeline push back its operation date because of some of these court rulings, right?
It's definitely a risk for these pipeline operators and pipeline developers. They know now that they're going to be facing huge pushback in court. What we likely will see is pipeline developers pushing the federal agencies to make sure they have all their ducks in a row before they grant these approvals, because if those approvals are going to be struck down in court, then the pipeline developer has lost time. The future of pipeline battles going forward depends in part on how environmentalists are defining success. If success means they shut down a pipeline, I don't think the rulings that we've seen so far from federal courts suggest that that is likely to happen extremely soon. However, as we have seen in court, they are able to slow down pipeline construction, temporarily halt pipeline construction, and force agencies to take a closer look. And that way, they are really pushing that issue forward.
Well, Ellen, thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That was energy and environment reporter Brittany Patterson speaking with E&E News legal reporter Ellen Gilmer.